Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Glad to see each one that's here, and it's good to be here and study God's Word together. Study passages, study verses that we do again and again, but we need reminded. I need reminded of things. I need reminded to God means what He says. And I just put a plug in for coming up to Summer Bible School. Be glad to see each one of you, and if that works in your schedule. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that probably is, at least my mind goes, it's probably one of the higher things that people in the world are looking for this morning. When you think of world news, you think of just people in general, something that does not come natural, something that we all want, and that's peace. Something that I think, if we're honest with ourselves, we all look for it. We all at times might think we have it, and then the next day it seems like it's gone. Peace is used 429 times in the Bible. This morning, my desire is just to bring a small glimpse of maybe the difference between the peace that the world tries to bring and the peace that God offers, the peace that Christ offers us this morning. And there is no comparison between the two. There really is no comparison, but we need to be able to see the difference, because I think too often we run after things. Maybe I'm getting into happiness or joy, but too often we run after things that we think are going to satisfy us or bring us peace, and it's only for a time. It's only because of circumstances. Peace is quietness, harmony, unity, a concord. You know, when you think of peace, it can have the idea that things have not always been this way. Before you're a Christian, you accept Christ and He comes into your life, there is a calmness and a peace there. Something that wasn't there previously. You know, people think about world peace. People think about the whole world getting along and hoping that we don't have to go into another world war or anything like that. World peace, people have the idea of freedom, peace, and happiness among everyone. The idea of a world without violence. The opposite of peace is violence, war, conflict, distress, unrest, hatred, worry, discord, tension. You put your lack of peace word in there. I think it comes pretty close home to each one of us at times. When I think of the peace that the world has to offer, think of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. You know, I just think of that in the world events. Seems like government leaders and president are trying so hard to keep things from getting out of hand. And when and where, I don't know, that they'll feel like everything is all peaceful in the world and things are all coming together, and but it's only for a time, and that is because it is man's idea. They will try to say peace and safety and it will be gone. Ronald Reagan said, peace is not the absence of conflict, it is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. I had to think of that statement. I think it's true. But could I say that as a believer, we go a step further by living peace? We live out peace. We have it within us that it's just a part of us. As I said before, everyone in the world is looking for it. They go to great lengths to try to figure out what they could do to have peace, whether it's in circumstances about us or whether it's in their hearts. Romans 3, verses 17 and 18, the way of peace have they not known. There is no peace of God, or there is no fear of God before their eyes. It is describing a person without God. We cannot know peace without knowing God. As long as Satan has free reign in the world, as long as God lets Satan be as the prince of the power of the air, there's going to be unrest. Peace is going to seem like something that is there for a short time maybe and is gone again. Something that at times might seem totally unattainable. And outside of Christ, there is no way to have lasting peace. Yet, you know, this morning, each one of us can have it within us. Each one of us can live it. Each one of us can have it despite of what's going on about us. It is something we need to accept from God. If you go to Genesis 26, Isaac is known as a peacemaker. It gives some of the story of his life in Genesis there. And the peacemaking part starts with him being sent away from the Philistines because he was getting to be that great and that big, and the Philistines were scared of him. So they sent him away. And we all know the story so well of how he went, found another place, he was digging wells, and they kept taking him from him. And you can wonder why he left that happen. He was living in a time that I believe it would have been okay for him to fight for his rights. Philistines basically were his enemies, and he could have kept a hold of what he had, but he left them go and moved on. We know that finally he was able to find a place, and God prospered him. I want to turn to Ephesians 2, read a few verses. We'll see in these verses that Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Christ is our peace. Christ made peace between us and God whenever he died on the cross. It is because of Christ, it is because of his blood he shed for us that we can have peace within our hearts. We can have peace between us and a holy God, a God that cannot look on sin. And Christ broke down that wall that was there between God and man. They could not come straight to God. They could not come to God personally because they were sinful. But we know that Christ can wash away our sins, and we can have peace. We can have joy, peace, come straight to God. We can come boldly to God. Because of that, we can all be one with Christ and the Father. We can all come to Him, not as a stranger, but as fellow citizens with the saints. And everything 20 and 21 talking about a foundation in the building. Everything is built upon Christ. Everything is built upon God. And it is a strong building. It's a strong foundation. And as each one of us lives for God, as each one of us allows that peace to be in within us and flow out from us, it'll continue to grow stronger. He came in, which verse is that? 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Christ came and preached peace to the Gentiles, and He came and preached peace to the Jews. Praise God that we can have the same peace also that was allotted to the Jews. There's a verse in Isaiah 9 that says Christ is the Prince of Peace. Christ is, He's the author, He's the beginning, He is the maker of peace. Not sure if I bring it up later or not, but the thing of, we cannot make peace. We cannot, there's nothing within ourselves that we can have a peace that's going to satisfy us. But it's only through Christ, it's only through God. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Christ made peace for us by shedding His blood on the cross. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have peace with God, we aren't going to have peace anywhere else. We aren't going to have peace with our fellow brethren if we don't have peace with God. And peace can never be found outside of the surrender to God. It originated with Christ on the cross. But we need to accept it. We need to come before God humbly and accept this, what He has given, what He holds out to us. You know, it's a blessing to know that God has accepted us, and that we can know that when we die, we can be with Him. Because of this peace, as I said before, this is a peace that can't always put it into words, I guess, but this is a peace that we just have to accept. We can't do enough to have peace. We cannot go to a certain place to get peace, but we do need to go to God and accept what He gives. Accept this peace before Him. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do I totally understand this whole idea of peace? Do you understand what it means when we're talking about peace? For myself, it's hard to fully grasp that, because about the time you feel at peace with the world and the people around you, something else comes up and it seems to totally take it away. But I think as we grow closer to God, maybe we can grasp a little more understanding of what God means whenever he wants us to be at peace among ourselves and to live peaceably and to have it within our hearts. This peace has the potential to connect people, languages, cultures, nations, or whoever you can think of. They can be all connected in one people, ready for God. As we think of this peace being hard to understand, there's one thing we do know. We know when there's a lack of it. And it is around us so much, and maybe too often, right within my own heart. With the peace of God, as I think of maybe world events or whatever, with the peace of God within our hearts, we don't need to let our minds run with the what ifs and the if only. But we know that God will take care of us. We can have a peace. This peace cannot be made by man. It has to be accepted. The broad out array, this is a peace that can be within us. It is not going to reflect on our outward circumstances. It's not going to reflect on the people about us. But it will keep our hearts, it will keep our minds, it will keep our thoughts focused on God in the midst of whatever we're going through. This peace that God gives us will keep us in tune with him in spite of what is going on around us. I want to go to John 20, verses 19 to 31 for an example of Christ and peace. I don't know if you're at all like me, but it just seems like peace can be such an elusive thing. One second you have it, and the next it seems to be gone. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I just find it interesting that Jesus, in his first encounter with the disciples here, he said it twice, peace be unto you. And then when he came back when Thomas was with them, he came in and said it again. I know he knew, that the disciples were clamoring with doubt, and they were scared. They were scared of the Pharisees and the other people. And Christ just wanted to assure them that they could have the peace that he had. They could have peace because of what he had done. They could have peace because of who he was. They were spending a lot of time, I believe, behind locked doors because of fear of people. And Christ, instead of berating them here, he came to them in compassion and wanting to assure them. Even with Thomas here, he scolded him maybe just a little bit about doubting. But Jesus left him reassure himself that he was the Christ. He left Thomas see the nail prints. And I believe God, Christ, does that for us today. He will help us through tough times. He will come to us and breathe peace unto us if we ask for it. Jesus also was saying here, peace be unto you, and because of that peace I give unto you, you can go out into the world and tell others. You can go out and tell others what I have done for you, what Christ had done for them. They could have an inner peace that would allow them to go out into a world that was mostly hostile, that was a lot of Jews that did not want to believe in Christ, and they did not have to be afraid of that because of a peace that Christ had given them. Luke 12, verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. So what's Christ saying here? And I don't know why I brought this verse up, because it's kind of contradictory to what I just was saying. But Christ was saying here that he came to bring division. My limited thought on that is Christ came to give peace, but he knew with his peace that he brought to those that believe with him, it's going to bring a division to those that do not believe on him. It's going to bring a division between the truth and the lies. It's going to bring a division between what is right and what is wrong. And it's going to divide, if you read on down those verses, it's going to divide families. It's going to divide friends because of the peace that Christ gives his followers. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ has a peace like no other. Peace, Christ has, we can have peace from Christ that is going to help us through life. So what is this peace doing for you this morning? Have you encountered this peace that I've talked about? Have you found that it maybe helps you? I had read 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and later on my eyes had went on down to verse 13. The latter part of that verse says, and be at peace among yourselves. And I just, my mind went to people, not sure how to say it, a congregation. And I don't know where you're at as a congregation, but the Bible says, be at peace among yourselves. And I just trust that as you all look into God's word, as you all relate to each other, you can be at peace among yourselves. Are you allowing God to work in your life, and you can be at peace with one another? Are you allowing the peace of God to permeate your life? And as it does, that is going to go out and touch. touch other people, is going to go out and make a difference for other people. Peace is more than not just not hitting back. I think as we live out peace, as we are peacemakers, think of Isaac again. You know, I don't know what the Philistines thought, but it had to be going through their mind, you know, I wonder what's wrong, he doesn't fight back. As we make peace, as we try to make peace, will it make others ashamed of the way they're acting? Will it make others feel a vacuum, feel a keen longing for a peace that they see in your life? And I just want to encourage you to be a people that have a peace that people can see, that radiate out beyond you. Radiate God's peace through you. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I just want to let this verse with you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and be ye thankful. Let's kneel for prayer.